All right. I'll use this mic for now. Conference and for Kathy. Praying for this believers in business and for Kathy as she travels. Other prayers. Here you go, Meg.
One this week.
Hey. Happy birthday, Eileen. Other prayers this day. I'll come over to the other side. Microphone any better? I don't know how to work this microphone any better. Lori. Oh. Is this about the Steelers?
No.
Okay.
No. Although that would be nice too. But I just like prayers for the LaCours family, and they lost their son on January 25th, 3-year-old son. So just continue prayers for them.
Prayers for the LaCours family who've lost their son, Jenny.
Prayers for the Hunter family. They are, a few months ago I mentioned the death of the elder that was hosted me when I was confirmed into the church I grew up in, and it's his grandson was in a car accident. So then the last month of having to deal with his death, now the grandson who is maybe 23 was just in a pretty serious car accident. So prayers for the Hunter family. And for my sister and brother-in-law who are traveling for a week of snowmobiling and skiing in Vermont, just safe travels and adventures for them, too.
Thanks for the Hunter family and also for your family as they travel for some fun. Other prayers today. I'll come around to CJ. Just like this.
I have joys today instead of concerns. There are only three of us left of our generation. We lost our older brother 6 years ago. And both Florida, seated by me, and our brother John made it, and we had a wonderful time putting down family history, lest more of it get lost.
Praise God for the family of faith and the history that you trace. Welcome, Lauren. It's good to see you. Another prayer, Lisa.
Prayers for Dave as he travels. He's going to the Middle East. No, not the best place to be, but... So prayers that he'll be safe.
Thank you. Yep, I'm traveling on Tuesday to the Middle East. You'll be hearing all about it later on, but I'll be okay. Not to Egypt. Other prayers today. Hey, hi Susan.
Joseph's home from the hospital. We so appreciate everyone's prayers. Thank you.
Thanks. Welcome back, JoJo. Home from the hospital after a long stay. Praise God for that. Other prayers this morning.
Let us pray. Creator God, you are ever creating, redeeming, and sending forth your spirit into all the world. We give thanks that our progress does not fully determine our worlds, that you continue to bring forth life and hope through the power of your spirit. We join with all those in Egypt praying for safety and security of the people, that this change would be for the good and not spiral to worse than it was. For freedom, as the Bible explains freedom. Lead all world leaders in wisdom as they seek to lead in these times and in all places. We pray, O Lord, for healing in big and small places, for those who struggle with cancer and long-term illness, for those who grieve in these days. We pray your healing hand to be upon Marcus and Kendon, for the LaCours family and the Hunter family. We give thanks for signs of healing in our midst, for Elena's father-in-law, for Joseph. We give thanks, O God, for the joys of our lives, for this long-awaited adoption for Ania and Jermaine, for continued strength and energy for John and Michael and all parents, for those who wait for pregnancies to deliver and adoptions to finalize. We give thanks this day for Judy's travels and to Florida of so many in the family for her aunt's 90th birthday, for Eileen's first birthday, for the safe travels for Jenny's sister. We pray, O Lord, for this church and all churches, that we might walk in your ways alone and work together for the good of your kingdom. As we come to the table again this day, lead us into purer lives of unity, to places of hope and promise, as we confront the challenges of our days and societies. Guide us into deeper lives of discipleship wherever our travels may take us. We pray for the travels and celebration this week of CJ's family, Lorna and John, with her this week, for Pastor Dave as he embarks on this journey to the Middle East. We pray, O Lord, for the conference next weekend, for believers in business as they gather together and claim you as Lord. In all these things, O God, may your will alone be done through the power of the one who walked this earth, who taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our children through fifth grade are excused to go downstairs to their classes during this hour.
Our Old Testament lesson is from 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, found on page 271 in your pew Bible, page 352 in a large print Bible, and also projected. This is a time when David is king. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his officers and all Israel with him. They ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking about on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to inquire about the woman. It was reported, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." So David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she was purifying herself after her period. Then she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." In New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 to 30, found on page 4 in the Pew Bible in the New Testament section and page 5 in the large print Bible. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell." This is the word of the Lord.
Our middle hymn this morning will be projected. You're invited to stand as we are led in worship by the worship band. Good morning. How many of you were here in worship last week? Let me see a show of hands. Wasn't that great? We had an amazing morning led by a full orchestra of youth, bringing praises to God and leading us in new ways. After the service, someone came through the line and said they had never heard a sermon quite like that before. You're never going to hear a sermon quite like this before either, friends. Lust is our topic for the day. Today we are beginning a new sermon series for the month of February, and we're going to call it The Unconventional Teachings of Jesus, taking a look at the Sermon on the Mount, some of the core teachings of Jesus in his ministry. It's in the Sermon on the Mount where we find the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. It's in the Sermon on the Mount that we learn the Lord's Prayer, which we say together every week, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's in the Sermon on the Mount where we hear those familiar words, Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door will be opened to you. The Sermon on the Mount, which is found in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew's Gospel, is a treasure trove that we can return to again and again. And every time we do, we discover something new and valuable that God has to teach us. So today we are taking on this topic of lust and exploring the ways that our thoughts as well as our actions are important to God. As we begin today, let's pray. I surrender all. I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Lord, help us to surrender our thoughts, our words, our deeds, and our lives to you. Open now this word of Scripture to us. Apply it to our lives. Seal it to our hearts, that we might go forth to love and serve in your name. Amen. I was watching a movie the other night, which is called Minority Report, starring Tom Cruise. Have you heard of it? I think we have a picture. Here we go, the Minority Report. It came out about 10 years ago. Tom Cruise stars in the setting is the year 2054 in the United States. In this future year, Tom Cruise works with what is called the pre-crime unit. His job as a police officer is to stop crime before they happen. And thanks, Bill. That's just a little visual for you. So in the movie, there are three people who are like psychics. They have special abilities to see the future. And they're called precognitives or precogs. And so they have this gift of seeing murders before they happen. Whenever someone is planning or plotting a murder, they see it before they happen. And then Tom Cruise and his pre-crime unit gets the information and they act on it. They go out and stop the crime from happening. The key to this system is that the precogs are never wrong. They accurately see what each person's thoughts, ideas, and intentions will lead them to do. So if Tom Cruise and the other detectives weren't on the case, these crimes would most certainly happen. And so it's a great movie because it asks these questions about thought versus action, predestination and free will, crime and punishment, and especially the ethical dilemma that comes with arresting, convicting, and punishing people for something that they never actually do. People are stopped from committing the crime and then put in jail, punished for what they were going to do, what they only thought about doing. Now, this is a disturbing idea, isn't it? That there should be some kind of thought police out there who could come and get us, not for something we actually have done, but for something we just thought about, entertained, considered. Thankfully, we live in a society, in a country where that doesn't happen. We can't be punished for just thinking about certain things. You remember the old axiom, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. And the reverse of that is also true. Unless you do the crime, you don't have to do the time. That's the law. That's our conventional wisdom. It's a basis of a jurisprudence. Only if you actually break the law can you then be punished, find yourself in trouble. So with all this in mind, we have a very difficult word from Jesus to consider this morning. He says, "You have heard it said, you shall not commit adultery." That's the line you don't cross, and if you do, you'll find yourself in trouble. But I say to you, if you even look at someone lustfully, it's as if you've already committed the act. So even a thought or a look or an idea could get you in trouble. He goes on to say that if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you to stumble, chop it off. Better to be maimed and to go into life than to be whole and to go into death. This is tough stuff. When Judy was reading the passage, there was a bit of nervous energy in the room, as you all realize what we were talking about today. Well, when I was in high school, I was in a Bible study group with some guys from my youth group, and we were looking at this passage. And we heard what Jesus said about lust and where it can lead, and it's kind of worried us. And we thought, you know, we know a lot of people who have a lot of lusty looks and sort of behavior. So we decided that we needed to help our fellow students not to fall into lust, not to fall into this trap. So we started a group called the Lust Busters. This is a true story, I'm sorry to say. I was a founding member of the Lust Busters. And this is what we would do. We'd go out on missions, lust-busting missions. There was a place near where we lived called the Canyon. And the Canyon was this wooded, secluded area where we knew after school some people would go and make out. Lusty behavior, if there ever was some. We knew this. And so what we would do after school is we would go out into the woods and find a spot where we could see these folks on the road to perdition, and we wanted to help them. And so we would, from a safe distance, we would shoot at them with a BB gun and break it up. And then we'd run as fast as we could out of the woods. And the whole time, the words of Jesus were just ringing in our ears. Better to be shot with a BB gun than to go into trouble. Well, the thing the Lust Busters were missing back then, besides brains, or after-school jobs or anything else, is that Jesus does not say, if you see someone else lusting, go and shoot out their eye. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, if your hand causes you to stumble, not someone else's. He's not talking about someone else's business, someone else's lust, someone else's life. He's talking about you, and you, and me. This isn't a passage about judgment, of looking to our neighbors. It's about looking to ourselves and examining our own lives and thoughts and intentions. Letting Christ rule not only in how we act, but also how we think, our patterns of thought, our intentions, and our desires. You know, we're like third graders sometimes, how we want to test the boundaries. We want to know what's the rule, where's the line, and we'll go right up to it. We want to know where it is so we can push the boundaries. This is the way that we think about the seventh commandment, which is that adultery commandment. You shall not commit adultery. As long as we don't do it, we're okay. But Jesus doesn't view the law or the commandments in this way, as if it's a line not to be crossed or a set of rules to be followed. Instead, the law and the commandments are meant to give shape to the kind of life that God wants for us. A life that's good, that's whole, that's holy, beautiful, delightful, creative, and healthy. It's like that old saying from Benjamin Franklin, beer is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. Well, it's the same way with the law. The law is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy. And so it's laid out like this. This is the way, walk in it. And so one of the ways that we walk in this kind of life that God intends for us is through our relationships, especially the most important ones, relationships we might call covenantal relationships, husband or wife, life partner, maybe a best friend, even our God. And so these covenantal relationships are so important, they're so foundational, so life-giving, that Jesus doesn't want anything to sneak in and disrupt them or break them apart. So he uses a little bit of hyperbole, trying to get our attention. He deliberately overstates his point to make sure that we get it. It's like when someone says, these cookies are great, I could eat a million of them. It's not literally about eating a million cookies, but it's about liking them. In the same way, Jesus' point is not that his followers should literally chop off their arms, poke out their eyes, or shoot BB guns. But his point is, don't let anything interfere or keep you from the relationship you're meant to have. Not only the act of adultery itself, but also those daydream fantasies, those thoughts that we entertain a little bit too long, that glance kind of turns into a stare. In his commentary on this passage, John Calvin writes that Christ employs an exaggerated form of speech in order to show that whatever hinders us from yielding to God ought to be cut off. Whatever hinders us from yielding to God and God's intentions for our relational life needs to be cut out because it's just playing with fire. There's a proverb in the Bible that asks, can fire be carried in the bosom and the clothes not be burned? Or in another version that I like even better, it says, can a man scoop fire into his lap and his clothes not be burned? That's an image for you. You see, there's only so long you can sit there scooping fire into your lap until your clothes are going to get burned. Jesus says there's only so long that you can let your lusty looks linger before you find yourself in trouble. So cut it out. He says, cut it off. Cultivate your garden by doing some weed work, pulling out anything that keeps you from a right relationship with God and with others. In particular, those core covenantal relationships. These days at home, we're paying special attention to our baby, Abigail, because she's in the phase or stage when everything she sees, she grabs and puts in her mouth. This babies get this way, and she loves anything she can get her hands on, she'll grab it and put in her mouth. You know, remote controls, cell phones, forks, anything she can get. And so Lisa and I have to pay a special attention to what is around her, what she can see, what she can get her hands on, because we know she's going to try it out. In some ways, this is what it's like. We need to take those things away, put them in another room, put her in an environment where she can flourish and not stab herself in the tongue. I wonder, as you hear this word from Jesus today, if you could consider the garden of your own life, maybe some weed work you'd like to do, some area of life that probably needs to be pulled out, cut off, put aside, in order that you can really, fully live with your loved one. Not distracted, not off in a secret corner. Focus, whole. It's interesting that in the Bible there are no stories of Jesus' disciples walking around with one eye. There's no pirate disciple. There's no stories about Jesus' disciples who have actually cut off their hands and walk around. But there are a bounty of biblical stories about people who meet Jesus, who start to follow him, and who change their lives. Who come to change some aspects of their lives, the ways that they live, in order to more faithfully follow their Lord. So let's be honest. A Sunday sermon about lust is nobody's idea of a good time. It's a challenging topic to us as we consider a little bit the areas of our own lives that Jesus is speaking directly to. The places where we need to do a little weed work. Where we need to clean up our act a little bit in order to follow more faithfully. I want to give you some good news today. Here's the good news. This table which is set before you is not a table that is only for those who've got it all together, who know the right way to follow Jesus and do it all the time. This table is actually meant for those like you, and like you, and like me, who stumble and fall along the way, and yet who come again to the word of life, the word of Christ, and follow more faithfully in our lives. This is a point of reflection for you in the week ahead. How is this word from God meaningful to you in particular? And as you come to the table today, as you gather for this sacrament, know that Christ will meet you here in grace, in forgiveness, in love. You are accepted here. This is the place for you. This table is not a Presbyterian table, nor is it only for members of this particular congregation, but it's for all of us, one-eyed or two, seeking to follow God more faithfully in our lives. When the risen Lord was with his friends, he took bread and he broke it. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Friends, Christ meets us in this table. He recognizes you. Come and you too might experience this life and this love that God has in store this day.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and the cup, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and with all who are baptized in his name, that we may be one in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Amen.
Amen. Hear the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. After blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
body of Christ broken for you.
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you drink of it, do so remembering me." Said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and you will bear much fruit. Cut off from me, you can do nothing."
Let us pray. Here at the table of grace, O God, you have met us once again. You who call us into a life of righteousness and holiness. You who forgive us when we stumble and fall. You who equip us to love our neighbors as ourselves and to reach out into a world with so many needs. We give you thanks for this time and this place. Send us now, O God, built up in our faith, challenged for the week ahead, and confident of your enduring promises with us, that our covenantal relationship with you cannot be broken as we seek to live out covenantal relationships with those in our lives. All these things in Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Let us bring our gifts and offerings to God.
I'm only a human. I am just a woman. Help me believe in all I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. So Lord, for my sake, teach me the day, one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, yes, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. God help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Do you remember when you walk to thy side? Jesus, you know, is looking below to your right hand. Cheating and stealing, violence and crime. So Lord, for my sake, teach me the day, one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, yes, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Amen.
Dedicate these gifts and offerings to you that they may be used to do your will in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You're invited to remain standing as we sing together our final hymn, which is called Holiness. It will be projected on the screen and led by the band. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all persons. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of His Spirit. May the blessings of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain within you, both now and forevermore. Amen.
I got a $50 gift card to Amazon on my birthday. I was like, what can I buy with it? I was like, I've always been on a mandolin, but no one, you know, believes me, so I got one. Christmas, my parents gave me a $50 one. So I was like, all right, there's a violin. I think it's a less good investment than this one, but I guess, I mean, I can play this sort of, but I don't know how to play the violin.
Yeah, that's the thing, I know I do. I just want
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to touch it for more than 20 minutes, I think.